Hello, friends, and welcome to this week's episode of Grits in the Gospel. My name is Reverend Katie Griffiths. It is great to be with you on this Sunday, this fourth Sunday of Advent, the Sunday before Christmas. It is a beautiful, beautiful thing to be a part of this joy of the Christmas season. I hope you are enjoying it as well. Let us come together now in a time of worship. The Lord be with you. And also with you. Today's psalm lesson comes from the 80th psalm. It is the first seven verses and then verses 17 through 19. Hear now the word of the Lord. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who led Joseph like a flock, who were enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh. Stir up your might and come save us. Restore us, O God. Let your face shine that we may be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers? You have fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in full measure. You make us the scorn of our neighbors and our enemies laugh among themselves. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. Let your hand be upon the one at your right hand and the one whom you made strong for yourself. Then we will never turn back from you. Give us life and we will call on your name. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Joseph is not in the Apostles' Creed, but when we say these words, let us also keep him close to our hearts. Friends, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray together. Dear Lord, we come to you today just humbled by Joseph's story, inspired by him, and renewed in our own faith because of his. Help us see all the lessons that we can learn through his story that we can apply to our own. Hear now the words of his stepson, your son, Jesus, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Today's gospel lesson is from the Gospel according to Matthew. It's chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Hear now the word of the Lord. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother, Mary, had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be pregnant from the Holy Spirit. Her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to divorce her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Look, the virgin shall become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph awoke from his sleep, He did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Dear Lord, as we hear these familiar words, let unfamiliar ideas come to our hearts, things that inspire and show bravery and love that we have never noticed before in Joseph's story. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. I've been thinking about the poem On Marriage by Khalil Gibran a lot lately. I read it for my sweet friend Chris's parents' funeral. They were married for over 60 years. I've been reading it a lot and thinking about my own life journey. I think it is particularly appropriate for our scripture and look at Joseph and the role he played in the birth and life of Jesus and his marriage to Mary. Gibran says this of marriage: "You were born together, and together you shall be forevermore. You shall be together when the white wings of death scatter your days. Aye, you shall be together even in the silent memory of God. But let there be spaces in your togetherness, and let the wings of heaven dance between you. Love one another, but make no bond of love. Let it rather be a moving sea between the shores of your souls. Fill each other's cup, but drink not from one cup. Give one another of your bread, but eat not from the same loaf. Sing and dance together and be joyous, but let each one of you be alone. Even as the strings of a lute are alone, though they quiver with the same music. Give your hearts, but not into each other's keeping, for only the hand of life can contain your hearts. And stand together, yet not too near together, for the pillars of the temple stand apart, and the oak tree and the cypress grow not in each other's shadow." There was a thing on the internet going around not too long ago. Women were being asked if they were alone in the woods, would they rather encounter a man or a bear? And without hesitation, women across the board would say a bear, myself included. I can list about 5 straight men my age that I would choose to encounter in the woods over a bear. At least with a bear, we know what we're getting. I think Joseph would have made my short list of men I feel safe with. I think Joseph, especially for the harshly patriarchal society that was the ancient times, was a good guy. I think God knew just what he was doing when he chose Joseph to be the husband of Mary and the earthly stepfather of the Messiah. Joseph was a good man. He was not just kind and, as the scripture says, righteous. He was also a little bit brave. And we see that before the angel comes to him in a dream. Even before he knows exactly what is going on with Mary and the baby, he decided to do the stand-up thing and keep her from persecution. Verse 19 says that he was unwilling to expose her to public disgrace and planned on to divorce her quietly. He knew what public disgrace really meant for her. It meant ridicule and isolation. It meant no other man would be willing to marry her. It meant she would have very few options to survive without the income of a husband. In essence, without knowing the full story, Joseph was willing to risk his own ridicule and humiliation to ensure Mary's survival. Joseph was willing to sacrifice his own reputation and standing in the community to allow Mary to retain her dignity. How many men would be willing to do that today? But then Joseph had a dream. And dreams were not seen as we see them today. Dreams at the time were seen as a way for God to communicate with humans. And if that's still true, then God and I need to chat about some dreams that I've had lately. But in Joseph's dream, he takes the message that he receives very seriously. He's given the same message that Mary was given from the angel Gabriel. But did you pick up on the differences? Mary was told, as we heard last week, do not be afraid. Joseph was told, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. As the head of the household, no matter what we think of the practice now, Joseph was not to be afraid to take Mary and this child that was not his. The ridicule and whispers and questions about his choices were nothing to worry about. His instructions were clear. Take Mary as your wife and name her son Jesus. He will save the world from sin. I also find it interesting that the Matthew and the Luke writers focused on different descriptions of Jesus when the angels come to visit Mary and Joseph. When the angel came to visit Mary, Gabriel refers to him as the Son of God, the Most High, and speaks of his lineage. For the writer of Luke and Mary, it is important to make the connection to fulfill the prophecy of Jesus being born in the line of David, which Mary was a part of. But for the writer of Matthew, when the angel comes to Joseph in a dream, it is most important for him to see that Jesus is conceived by the Holy Spirit. It explains how Mary became to be pregnant without Joseph's help. By calling him Emmanuel, or God with us, the angel is confirming that Jesus is not just human, but is divine. He's reassuring Joseph that it is indeed the Holy Spirit that has brought this about and come over Mary. It is the reason he does not have to be afraid to take Mary as his wife. That took a lot of courage. But it also, to me, embodies the idea that Gibran lays out in his poem. Joseph had to let there be a lot of space between him and Mary so she could live out her calling. I love so many parts of the poem, but this is one of them. Give your hearts, but not into each other's keeping, for only the hand of life can contain your hearts. The word life in the poem is capitalized. Joseph and Mary had to give so much to be a part of the story of the birth and life of Jesus. The only way they could truly do that is by giving their hearts to God, to life, to Jesus. They had to live out their own specific part of this story for it to all be fulfilled. Their callings were from the same God, but they were not called to the same thing. For the two of them, it had to be easier to face this journey together. It took the looks and stares as they went about their lives, as she became more and more obviously with child. Had to be hard for both of them. I'm sure they were questioned by family and friends. I am sure they had to get creative with their answers. But at the end of the day, God gave them each other to cling to when things got tough. He gave Mary a man who was righteous and loyal to God and to her. He was understanding and caring. I still stand by my assumption that Joseph was no help at all during the actual birth of Jesus, but I'm sure he tried. And during those ancient times, that does count for something. I've recently made a list of characteristics that I'm looking for in a partner. It has things on it like emotionally available, loyal, brave, and the most important, dog lover. I've been told that I am looking for a unicorn, not a man. And that may be true. But I also think that the way Gabron frames marriage and the list of characteristics that Joseph possesses and that I am diligently looking for are also the same things that we should all do for each other as human beings. We should all stand tall and support our community together. We should never take from someone else's cup of joy. We should be that support system for our friends and family and those in need. All of us have a calling, and we all should do whatever it takes to support each other in those missions. We all need to be, in the best of ways, in honor of the man who stepped up to raise the child of God into the Savior of the ages, like Joseph. I think I love the last part of the poem the most. Gabron closes his thoughts on marriage this way. Stand together, yet not too near together, for the pillars of the temple stand apart, and the oak tree and the cypress do not grow in each other's shadow. Joseph was the oak tree to Mary's cypress, content to grow strong next to her and not overshadow her and not in her shadow. Secure enough to be the background player in the story of Jesus, strong enough to step back and let her shine with the glow of new motherhood and the possibilities of the journey of motherhood that she was on. Humble enough to know that he had a great responsibility to teach the boy of Jesus what being a good man looked like for a mere human. That is the set of characteristics that every human should aspire to. That is the person that we all should want to be for each other. So thank goodness for Joseph. What little we know about him is powerful and inspiring. Just like his son, the Son of God made flesh, who we celebrate this season. Amen. As we go throughout our week, let's not just look for Joseph in others, but aspire to be like Joseph ourselves. Because in life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.